from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Just a little bit after 2 p.m., we welcome you into our Triple Crown series shows, our third of three here for 2024, the Preakness Show, live at Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel. We're inside the Park Place Room. Brian Colziel with you, and Ryan Hasenauer from Batavia Downs Gaming going to join us here in just one moment. 3 hours coming your way, as we do for the Derby and the Preakness, and now for the Belmont. This year, the 156th running of the Belmont Stakes. 1 million, the purse, the distance, 1.25 miles, a little bit shorter. We'll talk about why in a moment. It's also at a different location in Saratoga instead of down in Queens where it normally is. So a different spot, a different location, a different distance. Post time set for 6:41 p.m. If you want TV coverage today, it is on Fox starting in an hour, or about 2 hours from now at 4 p.m. Weather looking good, high of 70, no chance of rain. And again, this is the first time the Belmont will not be at a mile and a half since 1905. So some good storylines coming up. We'll get to those coming up in just a little bit. In an hour from now, Pat Mellicaro on the Bisons and Major League Baseball. Some good storylines with what the Yankees are doing and what the Blue Jays are not doing. We'll talk about that. Also, as Evan said in the update, Mets and Phillies playing in London. So we'll talk a little bit about that with Pat coming up. In our third hour at 4 o'clock, Dan Dunleavy, Sabres play-by-play man. The Amerks have a new coach. We know the Stanley Cup Finals start tonight with Edmonton and Florida. And also the NHL Combine in Buffalo this week. So a lot to get to there. And Danny Gare, Sabres great, Sabres Hall of Famer. Of course, you know him if you're a Sabre fan. He'll be joining us. We expect maybe around 4:30. And, of course, Ryan has an hour throughout. Let's bring him in now. Good afternoon, Ryan.
Hey, Brian. I was just looking at my Facebook memories here. 11 years ago today, me, you, and Joe B. over at the Whirly Branch there about to go live. So good times. We've been doing this a long time.
We have. Yes, over a decade plus for sure. And I know, speaking of the Whirly location, you tweeted out a picture a few days ago.
Yes.
Of a certain blue and Bills insignia logoed truck that came to visit us at Whirly a few years after that.
Yes, we had quite the day that day. I think we saw a Sabres legend that day as well coming through, and then yeah, Rex was there putting his bets in, taking pictures with people out front. He was having a good time making his Belmont picks and bets that day at the OTB. So
Rex Ryan, we know, obviously maybe didn't succeed as much as the coach that he would have wanted to. However, he did make the Bills interesting, and he was one that definitely interacted with fans. So like yeah. Him being out in public like that was always a good thing.
Yeah, I definitely think that he was one of the more personable people that was, you know, running around this community, you know, doing things. Him and his brother on that twin bike, you know, yeah. They're having a lot of fun, and he was willing to poke a little fun at himself, which is always a nice thing, you know, when you get somebody who's good like that.
And you're driving in with a bright blue truck with the huge Bills logo on either side.
Yeah, you know who you are.
You're definitely going to draw attention to yourself. And then you get out. We all already knew who Rex Ryan looked like. So it wasn't like he was trying to fly under the radar there.
No. You got to get a rental car and come in a different way. But no, he walked right in. And I think a customer, if I recall, we were on air and a guy came up to us, which happens all the time sometimes. And they don't, you and I are sitting there not talking because someone might be talking in our ear that you have on the line.
Yeah.
And he's like waving at it. I remember being like taking my headset off and being like, what?
Yeah.
And he's just like, Rex Ryan's here. I'm like, oh my God.
Yes, we quite the celebrities with our Triple Crown shows. We had Thurman Thomas with us here a few weeks ago.
And you'll have Danny Gare today.
And Danny Gare today. Yeah. Beyond your exciting celebrity status as well, Ryan, that you bring to the show.
I'm like an EF level celebrity.
No, you're great. You're great. We love having you on here. For those that listen to the show regularly, I always get great feedback about the energy that you bring. So let's talk about the headlines for this year, for the Belmont here, the 156 running. New location, new distance.
Yeah,
what do we expect maybe with that kind of layer to today?
So like you just said, you know, you've got the race taking place because of construction at Belmont in Elmont, New York. Going to be there for the next 2 years. And some my apologies, I had a little typo here for you. It actually is $2 million
today. Oh, it's two today.
$2 million today. I don't want to cut anybody short there on the money they might win today. You know, it's a little bit interesting. Fox is picking it up. I think it was still on NBC last year, if I recall. So a little bit different coverage there, which is great. But here's the thing about it being a shorter race than it normally is at the Belmont. You know, they can go a mile and a half at Belmont. I mean, theoretically, they can go in a mile and a half today at Saratoga.
Well, that was my follow-up. Yeah. Why can't they just move the starting gate back?
I don't know if it's something because of where it would be on the curvature, because you can't move the finish line, right? The finish line's the finish line. All the cameras are there. All the stuff is there. So it might be something to do with the curve there. But, you know, really, what it is going to allow to have happen today is a lot more horses are going to have a chance. When you watch the Belmont over the years, it's the test of the champion, right? Big Sandy, that's what they call Belmont. You've got a situation where a lot of horses that don't have the breeding are not going to be able to go the distance, right? And most horses will never run a mile and a half ever again. It's just like this one-off thing that's become a tradition, and that's what they do. But when they scaled it back to a mile and a quarter, which is, of course, the same exact distance that the Derby is, I think it puts a lot of these horses back into play. You know, when we were talking on the on Derby Day, we were talking about Dornock, who was the one horse for the Derby. He's the sixth horse today. This horse is a full brother to Mage. He's a full horse brother to the horse that won last year's Kentucky Derby. And he got pinched right off the thing there, got shuffled to the back, got checked hard. And, he finished 10th. But, boy, did he have to fight to get back up there to get to 10th. I think he was actually 20th at one point before they went around the first turn, and he was able to get back up to 12th. So Dornock is back in play today. Not to mention, like we talked about, the two horses that, you know, won the other two legs of the Triple Crown. And, of course, Sierra Leone, which is coming in from getting jostled and then still rallying and finishing second just by a nose on the first Saturday in May. So you've got a lot of great horses. You've got some new shooters that have got a lot of rest, including Sierra Leone. Of course, she's got 5 weeks rest because he didn't race in the Preakness. So it's going to be a really exciting race and kind of tough to pick.
Yeah, these two horses you mentioned, the Derby winner, Mystic Dan, the Preakness winner, Seize the Gray, they both come in, obviously, good pedigree, good resume. You've won a Triple Crown race. That's almost pretty much the peak beyond winning the Triple Crown itself that you can do. But they're not even the top two favorites.
Right.
So, I mean, that just shows here, like you mentioned, that the you talked about Dornock. They're not even in the top four. So there are a lot of quality horses here in this 10-field horse race today.
Absolutely. And the number 10, Mindframe, has only won a maiden race and an allowance race for $127,000. But you see who his trainer is and you see who his jockey is. It's Irad Ortiz Jr. and it's Todd Pletcher. So you just can't throw a horse out when you see those two, you know, heavyweights backing this horse. It's going to be awesome today.
So the two winners from the Preakness and the Derby, them not being the top two favorites, is that lined up with the sense that they think it was either fluky or the sense of what you said, maybe the other horses just being stronger, more rested, the trainer, the jockey, all that lining up?
Right. I will tell you right now, if for whatever reason Sierra Leone raced in the Preakness and won the Preakness, Sierra Leone would be the favorite today.
Either way. Okay.
Yeah. I think there's something to be said about it being quote-unquote fluky. I think they're great horses. Mystic Dan and Seize the Gray are by no means fluky horses.
Right.
But it just kind of didn't go that way. It's almost like when you have a little bit of an upset, you know, in a game, and you're just like, well, the favorite's probably going to come back and win the next one, you know, and even the series or whatever it might be. So,
right.
So we'll see what happens today. I'll still be using Seize the Gray and Mystic Dan probably in a bunch of my underneath bets. But very excited to watch this today. No rain. Not going to rain now, so that's great. We like that. It's impossible to get tickets unless you want to spend a fortune on the secondary market, because Saratoga is much, much smaller than Belmont. So, it'll be, I had a couple of people that wanted to go, and they're like, hey, we're going to go out there. And they're like, I saw what tickets were. They're like, we're just going to stay home and watch it. I thought, well, you know, spend that money on Batavia Bets. Put that money in some wagers and win some money instead of going out there.
You've been to Saratoga, right?
I have. I went the summer of 2019. My dad and I went out there. My dad lives right in Saratoga, actually. And so I visited him, and we just kind of went over one afternoon. Missed the first couple races just to beat the traffic, you know, in terms of that. But, Brian, when you walk into that place, it's very much like walking back in time. You've got a fever pitch of people, a town even, the town itself of Saratoga Springs, gets a lot of its money from the horse racing industry and the people that are surrounded. So when you're there, either in the town or especially on the grounds, you're struck by the, you know, the history of the sport. You're struck by the heavyweights, the major people in the sport. But also, it's just, you know, the dirt's never browner and the grass is never greener and the sky's never bluer when you're standing there at Saratoga just watching all the pomp and circumstance of what goes on.
It is a pretty cool town, for sure. Like, just yes. Beyond the fact when there's horse racing going on, it's a great spot to be.
You got SPAC out there. My buddy Chad, who's probably listening, he goes out there every year to see Dave. You know, a lot of Dave fans in the Buffalo area that drive out there to see him at SPAC. So definitely a good town. And I got to tell you, Brian, there's some rumors going around here that perhaps with this year being at Saratoga, next year being at Saratoga, perhaps this is a little bit of a trial run to see if Saratoga might be able to handle having the Breeders' Cup Championship coming up one of these years. Now, do I want to be at the Breeders' Cup in late October, early November in Eastern New York? Maybe not. Yeah. The weather is definitely a factor. A lot of times it's in Kentucky or it's over in Florida or it's over there in California where the weather is a little bit more less problematic in early November. But something to be said maybe about having a little bit of a cold weather Breeders' Cup and having it be at Saratoga. That'd be neat.
Yeah. I was just, while you were talking, looking up some of the secondary market pricing to get in today.
Yeah.
There's still a few left, but yeah, you're looking at 300s just to get in and then 600s and 1,000s if you actually want to have like a seat in the grandstand.
Right.
Yeah.
That good
is,
luck.
That
good
is
luck. Yeah.
An expensive event to be at for sure.
But, yes.
Yeah, cool spot. But here's what's, you know, now that maybe today, maybe this caught you off guard. Oh, it's in Saratoga. You got a year to plan. Oh, if people do want to go next year.
Yes.
Because that is drivable distance if you're listening here in Western New York.
Oh, yeah.
You could go there and make it a fun weekend.
Absolutely. You know, there's so much to do. Like you said, in town, we go out there. We visit. They have an amusement park out there in Lake George. You can just, you know, flat out just go to Lake George. There's a lot of cool stuff there. You know, just over the border into Massachusetts, Connecticut, there's a lot of other great amusement parks.
You're not far from the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield.
Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, yeah. So you got a lot of great places to visit kind of in that whole area.
Yeah. All right, so lots to talk about with the horses, and we'll go through that at 3:30. Ryan will break down horse by horse of each of the 10 fields, of the horse field there today for the 12th race, 10 horses in it. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening here at Batavia Downs. What do we got going on here? Wait, it's the Bourbon and Whiskey Fest, right?
Bourbon, our sixth annual. And I'm slightly distracted because it looks like one of the horse races that we are following on all the many screens here in the Park Place Room is having a dog race. We are going to be announcing our date for our wiener dog races coming up very soon. We do wiener dog races. Been doing that for about 15 years here as well. But, there they all go. Look at these dogs. Oh, my gosh. I love it. Anyway, so today is the Bourbon and Whiskey Festival. Today, sponsored by our friends at Jack Daniel's and Old Forester. Looking forward to seeing everybody come out here. 250 tickets have already been sold. You can only get tickets at the Lucky Treasures gift shop. You can't buy them online anymore because we're going to probably cap at around 300 people. You got 2.5 hours of bourbon and whiskey sampling. You're going to get yourself one of these cool glasses. We tweeted it out. It's like one of those standard whiskey glasses, but there's this notch in the side where you can fit your cigar. So you can hold your lit cigar and you're not having it in both of your hands while you're just enjoying hanging out with friends and family, enjoying a cigar and a drink. So we got that as a gift for you. Of course, you're going to get some free play. You got a $5 wager. I'm holding them in my hands right now. $5 wager on the Belmont Stakes. And a free program's waiting for you, too. So all those things will be happening inside of the Park Place Room today. Going to open up the doors at 4:30, and you get your picture with Danny Gare. You can get your picture with me, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, get it with the suit, Ryan. Get in line.
Listen, it's all good.
Yeah, no, I love that picture. The event I saw, you guys had tweeted out the link to buy them online, and then just a few hours later, bang, sold out.
Sold out pre-sale, yeah.
Yes, now you got to get them in person if you want to come today. So people still can show up here and buy the ticket today.
Yeah, so long as you're one of the first 50 people to go to the store today and buy a ticket, then we're going to let you in. But after that, we cap it at 300 just to keep the crowd manageable. And, you know, there's food here. Of course, there's some side food. When we were here for the Preakness, of course, it was tacos. And Brian was here with me, and we opened up the doors at 4:45, a little early, so just before he went off air.
Yeah.
And Brian could see the hungry people walking towards him as they literally skipped the tequila and just went right to the taco bar.
The broadcast location was very close to the taco line, and I had what appeared to be many fans listening, but really they were first in line to get their hands on the tacos, so that was good.
So today is just kind of some side food here at the Belmont. It's not the star of the show, but these whiskey fests and these different spirit fests that we do with food, always hitting to bring people in. It's just a great value for your money, and on a Saturday afternoon, get some yard work done, run a 5K like some people did this morning, and then coming out and enjoy some bourbon and whiskey.
If you can't make it here to Batavia Downs Gaming, you can make a wager today. Pick up your free program at all Western New York OTB branches. And you can also, there's also some various easy bets locations too.
Yeah, if you go to westernotb.com/locations, type in your zip, type in your address, we'll find a location near you. Of course, we mentioned the Whirly Branch earlier. That's kind of equidistant from a bunch of different places in Western New York. But you've also got the River Road branch up there in the Tonawandas. And then, of course, you got the Clinton Street branch there, kind of bordering Cheektowaga near the city in that area as well. But if you can't get to any of those places, BataviaBets.com is your spot. Just go log on. You can make your wager. We do have lots of cool, like, rebate situations. So if you bet on certain tracks, you're going to actually get some of your money back. And if you actually wager a certain amount each month, I send you free play for Batavia Downs. So there's a lot of different places you can get rewarded by betting on BataviaBets.com. Also knowing that your money's not going out of state. It's not going to some big conglomerate that might be in Kentucky at the Twin Spires. That money's staying local because, of course, as a public benefit corporation, OTB, and of course the umbrella stuff underneath us, Batavia Downs, and of course Batavia Bets. That money goes right back to the citizens of Erie County, of the city of Buffalo, and many other places here in Western New York.
Yeah, a lot of counties benefiting from the money that comes in that way. So
absolutely.
That's great. I know you guys really do a great job with that. Hey, you mentioned the free programs.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and I shame on me, I always make a mental note. Every year we should say something about that, because for every year it's people that are maybe wagering or getting into this for the first time. So when you open up your program and maybe you look at, you know, if I'm looking at the 12th race here today, which is, of course, the big one at Belmont at Saratoga, and it says the one horse sees the gray, and then there's a whole bunch of stuff.
A whole bunch of numbers,
so
yes.
Like, what, for the novice person here that maybe doesn't know a whole bunch, what should they really take note of here in the program?
So, you know, you're going to want to look at the what looks like a fraction. We all don't like fractions. Maybe you math people do. But there's those fractions. There's those math fractions in the middle. That's the morning line odds. Of course, things change with parimutuel wagering. As the money comes in, the odds will change. You're going to want to take a look at who the owner is at the top. For number one, Sees the Gray, right at the top is My Racehorse. That's one of those companies where you can buy a share of the horse. So that's why it was such a big deal when Sees the Gray won the Preakness. He had, like, over, like, 1,000 owners that all got a little piece of that that win. But you can also see the owner, which is there. You've got your trainer on the right side, and then underneath that is going to be the name of the jockey. But you know, Brian, we had a How to Bet event at the Whirly Branch a couple of weeks ago, and prior to that with Nick the Railbird, who you hear on WGR on Friday mornings before these big races with Nick and with Joe, or with Jeremy and Joe, you've got we taped Nick, and he filmed 3 YouTube ads, and these YouTube videos, we put them on our website. So if you go to westernotb.com/howtobet, you could actually watch these videos, and he will go literally through a race and tell you exactly what every number means.
Nice.
He'll tell you kind of a little bit of strategy about how to make a bet, and it's all on there. So if you go to, again, westernotb.com/howtobet, you can get information and watch these videos with Nick. They're not long, you know, a couple minutes long a piece, and he'll kind of give you the spiel on what all the different numbers and names mean, and that's really helpful for a lot of people to be able to kind of, you know, get into this, because it is fun. You know, we talk about this all the time. We're going to start live racing here on July 27th, and there's nothing better than being on the rail, being on the track apron, and knowing that here's the horses. They're coming around the final turn. They're coming for home, as they say, and you've got $2 to win on the three. That's a thrill. That's a lot of fun, and you don't have to bet a ton of money to get in and have action on these races and to just enjoy yourself. And if the right horses come in and you're betting some long shots, Brian, you can be like the guy a couple years ago when we had that big horse win and get on top there in the Kentucky Derby. He had, I think it was a $12 bet, and he ended up winning $500,000.
Wow.
So, you know, there's money to be made. You got to bet the long shots to win the big money, but there's still some money to be made even just betting some of the chalk, as they say.
That's right. All right. I just tweeted out. Hold on. I shouldn't say that. Let me make sure I actually attach it. Okay.
There
now,
you go. All right.
Now
perfect.
I tweeted it out. There we go. The link to the videos on how to bet that Ryan and I are talking about here on air. So that's there at Brian WGR. Check that out.
It's an educational show today, Brian.
That's right. We want to make sure. Well, it's one thing that we were even mentioning this morning, I know you were on with me on Tee to Green this morning. Mm-hmm. We try to all the time, you know, part of the reason we do that golf show is we're trying to make golf open to everyone, inviting everyone. And golf can be intimidating. You walk into these country clubs or golf courses and you, like, you know, you're a beginner.
Right.
And one of the things that we said we love so much about Bobolink is that it's a great spot for a beginner to go.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
You don't have to sit there and think of, like, well, who's watching me? What if I whiff on a shot? Like, who's going to, like, go and practice, go and work. Like, it's a great spot because we want people to be invited in. And I think you could say the same thing about maybe wagering on a horse race, is that it can be intimidating when you walk, you know, you're in line.
Right.
And, of course, you're thinking, well, all of these five people in front of me all know what they're going to say and what they're going to do. And
right.
I want to get in on the fun, too, but I don't know what to say. Like, this is a good spot to do it. So these videos are a good idea.
Absolutely. And you're right. It can be intimidating. But thankfully, you know, we got OTB staff out there. I'm here today. Sean Chiano's here with me today inside Park Place walking around. And we're happy to walk you through how to make a bet with our self-service terminals or with the fine folks that will be working the manned live terminals here today.
That's right. All right, good stuff, Ryan. Thank you. And
thank
again,
you.
If you want to come in to Batavia Downs, get in here, be one of the first 50 people. They go to the store.
Yes, you got to go
right
to the store.
Right when you walk in.
The Lucky Treasures gift shop, that'll get you a ticket if you still want to come out for the Bourbon and Whiskey Fest.
Okay, that'll be going on, and doors will be opening up around 4:30-ish, and Danny Gare will be here, too. Come and take your picture with him. All right, time out. When we come back, a anniversary of the Stanley Cup Final involving the Sabre. Do you remember what happened 25 years ago? We'll have that when we return after this as we roll on our our Belmont show here live from Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel. Along with Ryan Hasenauer, I'm Brian Colziel. Ryan will be back with us in the next hour. Stay tuned right here. More coming up on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now McKee stepped into him, and it's rolled around on the boards. Tip free and picked up by Brown. Curtis Brown to the Dallas line and over. Jammed it in wide of the net. Sanderson was slowed down. Brown keeping it in. Got it in front. They score! Jason Woolley! The shot heard round the world! The shot heard round the hockey world! And Jason Woolley has won the game in overtime here at the Reunion Arena. Sabres first victory in Stanley Cup final action in 24 years.
The great Rick Jeanneret on the call 25 years ago today. 25th anniversary of the 1999 Stanley Cup final. Sabres and Stars going at it. Of course, Jason Woolley there, that great shot that got the Sabres a 1-0 lead. We, of course, know how it all ended in game six with the no goal and Brett Hull, but nevertheless, a very cool call there from Rick, one of the many great ones from him. And today is the 25th anniversary. Saturday, June 8th, when the date was for this 1999 Stanley Cup final. If you want to hear a little bit from Woolley or hearing from that 1998-99 team, there's a really nice article up at sabres.com, kind of a nice history and reflections from, obviously, one of the most memorable seasons there in team history. That game, just like, you couldn't believe it, you know, at the time. Let's see, I was in college at the time, that holy cow, this, you know, not only are they in the Stanley Cup Finals, which for me was the first time that I've seen it in my life, and, well, as of this point, the only other time it's happened was, we know, in the 70s when I was not born yet, so I didn't see that one. But to believe, like, wow, they are actually there. And now they actually have a 1-0 lead, and the percentages are in their favor. How very cool that moment was, and, you know, what a great call from Rick. That team, that 1998-99 team, really, really, really fun. And we know, of course, that the Sabres were led by Dominic Hasek in that time period. A different makeup for that team, for sure. with Hasek, you know, obviously carrying the way. But that team ended up, you know, we know, losing in six games to the Dallas Stars. If you remember that playoff run, they won the conference quarterfinals over Ottawa. They swept them 4-0. Then the semis, they beat Boston in six. And then in the conference finals over Toronto, which, you know, kind of made that really, really sweet that year, as they ended up winning that in 5 games. And then, of course, off to the Stanley Cup final against Dallas that year. But the Sabres were led by Hasek that season. Can you remember a little bit about it here? Who led the team in scoring that season on that team? I'll give you a clue. He wore number 81. That was Miroslav Chatan. Chatan, 66 points that year. He has scored 40 goals. We know we haven't had a lot of 40-goal moments for the Sabres since that year. Michael Pekka, a really great two-way player on that team. He played all 82 games for the team that year. He had 56 points, second in the team in scoring. And then some names that were just role players that did their job very, very, very well. I mean, who would, you know, you really think, would Michael Groshek be a name that you'd think about as a scorer? Well, he was third on the team in scoring with 50. Curtis Brown, Dixon Ward, 47 and 44 respectively. But that team knew what they were good at. They knew what they weren't good at, but they really, really played hard as a team under Lindy Ruff at that point. And then Jason Woolley ended up being sixth on the team in scoring that year with 43 points. Woolley, Zhitnik amongst the defensemen. Barnaby was on that team. Plant was on the team. Schmelik, Wayne Primeau, Daryl Shannon, Jeff Sanderson, James Patrick, Jay McKee, of course, Rob Ray. Also, happy birthday, by the way, Rob Ray. He played 76 games on that season for the Sabres in that year. But Hasek was just, you know, so good during that season. He played 64 games that year. Pretty amazing. Rolison and Baron picked up some other games in there as well. Marty only ended up playing in six in that game. And then Rolison, of course, was a big part of that playoffs. Remember, Hasek was hurt going into that Leafs series. He ended up playing game one. And, you know, the Leafs are thinking, this is the game we have to get. And then the Sabres ended up stealing game one in Toronto. Pretty impressive stuff there. Woolley's playoffs were so good that he could have been in the discussion for the Conn Smythe had that kept going for the Sabres. He led the team in scoring that year in the playoffs. 21 playoff games. He had 15 points, 4 goals, 11 assists, including that one right there that RJ said was the shot heard around the hockey world. Zhitnik had 15 points for the Sabres in that playoff run. Pekka, Curtis Brown, Dixon Ward, 13, 13, and 12, respectively. And how about, remember, the acquisition of Joey Juno? He ended up playing in that playoff series, or throughout those series. He had 11 points in the playoffs. Stu Barnes and Jeff Sanderson, 10 and 10 each. So as we get ready for the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight, game one, always excitement. Edmonton and Florida, you know, as I sit there and look, I think it's a good matchup. I'm excited to watch it. I'm one, though, that's going to watch it regardless of who's in it. I've obviously, as you know, with my job at the station, I'm watching all 82 games for sure for the Sabres. Will the rest of the sports world watch it? That's the key. If you said to me, is the NHL loving this matchup? And I'm guessing they're going to give you, if they really, you know, if Gary Bettman would really give you an honest answer, which he's not on the record. Of course, he's going to say he's excited no matter who's in it. But if you think about hockey markets, Edmonton being in northern Alberta, you know Canada's going to have a great rating for this series. But in America, what will it get on ESPN and ABC? My guess is it's not going to be a very great rating. What helps with Edmonton is that, yes, they do have Connor McDavid. I think McDavid, even for the fringe hockey fan in the U.S., now McDavid is enough of a household name that could draw some interest. And, you know, you have two of the top 10 players in the NHL. You have McDavid, who's the best, in my opinion, and then, you know, strong opinion there, right, saying McDavid's the best player. And then Leon Draisaitl, I think, is a top 10 player, at least amongst the forwards in the NHL you've got there. So the star power really lining up with the Oilers. And then you've got Florida, who have a ton of players that know how to win in the playoffs now. And, you know, you look at guys like Barkov and Tkachuk, and they're outstanding and deep defense that they have, you know, led by Ekblad, But Montour, of course, the former Saber, some other good defenders there. They are deep. They know how to play. I think they've got the better depth. I was listening to an analyst. I don't know if they were on with Shope and the Bulldog earlier in the week or one of the other, maybe NHL Network or something, talking about how if the officials are going to call penalties, and as we know, you never know, roll the dice with that. He thinks if it's a series that really involves special teams priority, that he thinks Edmonton has a real chance because their power play is just so good. He said if the referees are kind of in swallow the whistle mode and it's a lot of five-on-five hockey, he says that's going to favor Florida. You know, obviously less space out on the ice, and Florida's third line and fourth line, in his opinion, saying that, hey, they're stronger there. The top line of Edmonton obviously may have more star power and more scoring punch, but he thinks 1-4 plus the defense, Florida a deeper team, even Florida having on paper the better goaltender. We know both Bobrovsky and Skinner could be just, who knows, roll the dice with those two in net. But again, looking, both teams have gotten here. And if you said, tell me why Florida's in the cup, tell me why Edmonton's in the cup, I'm probably not going to talk about their goaltending for quite a while. I'm going to talk about Edmonton's star power. And, of course, you have the best player in the NHL in McDavid. That helps quite a bit. You have a lethal power play. That helps quite a bit. You look at Florida. Why are they in it? Well, because they've got players that really have played with tenacity. They obviously undergone some coaching changes here. Andrew Brunette got them far, but not all the way. You know, Paul Maurice obviously has done a wonderful job. They make the trade with Huberdeau going to Calgary, and a big package that ended up coming back to get Tkachuk. So Florida kind of changing their style from that really, really wide open style that was fun to watch, but they had trouble going deep into the playoffs. And now they are, boy, they can play almost any brand of hockey. I'm really impressed with what Florida has. And, of course, they've got all the Sabre connections. Yes, I think it would be great to see Kyle Okposo in what I think will be the end of his career here. He gets a chance to raise the Stanley Cup. I think that would be great. Sam Reinhart, you know, while it might be painful to watch what he's doing, he was a very talented player. And I think the Sabres still, you know, you look back and say, oh, geez, they shouldn't have traded him. Well, it didn't. There was no indication that Reinhart was going to sign with the Sabres long term. So at that point, the trade to be made, I guess, was one that you had to. The trade that, to me, that didn't have to be made amongst the former Sabres here was the Montour trade. Like, I think the Sabres maybe just got a little impatient on that. You look at the Sabres defense right now, if you could add Montour to that list, man, I feel like the Sabres could have as good a defensive core as anybody. I think adding Bo Byram last year makes the Sabres have a very above average young, skilled defensive set of players. But if you could have Brandon Montour also in this group, that includes Dahlin and Byram and an improved Joakim Haru and Power and Samuelson, I think that would be a really nice, you know, I think the Sabres are pretty set on D in terms of maybe what we'll see this upcoming October when the season starts. But man, if Montour could have been there, that would have been great. But anyway, 25 years ago today, Woolley getting the goal that got the Sabres off and running in that Stanley Cup Finals. So tonight, when you think about starting the Stanley Cup Finals, yep, it was the Sabres and the Stars 25 years ago here on Saturday, on June 8th, with Buffalo getting it going and off to a 1-0 lead. You know, you win game one, you think you're in the driver's seat. Well, we know the Sabres ended up losing then four of the next five as they lost in six to Dallas that year. But what an incredible playoff run. And, you know, we know Hasek was a huge part of that team. But you look at those players, the Sabres that year, you know, I'm mentioning guys like Curtis Brown, Michael Pekka, Dixon Ward, Joey Juneau, Stu Barnes, Holzinger, Primo, Warner, McKee. I think Kevin Adams, in revamping the bottom six for the Sabres and hopefully adding to the top six as well, got to find more players like that. I mean, they were able to add offensive ability or adding offensive scoring touch when it was needed, but they also were players that were hard to play against. You can't say, you know, playing against Dixon Ward and Michael Pekka and Stu Barnes and Vaclav Varada, you know, players like that, they were hard to play against. McKee, Warner, I mean, guys like that, James Patrick, Schmelick, those were guys that were tough to play against. And I think still Kevin Adams has some work to do in that area. Find more players that are difficult to play against. That's how Florida has kind of changed their image. And I think it's really, really helped them going forward here as they've obviously now made it to back-to-back Stanley Cup Finals, trying to win it this time for the first time in their franchise history. All right, Brian Colsey with you here. Our Belmont show live at Batavia Downs Gaming. 3 o'clock, Pat Mellicaro with some baseball chatter. Ryan Hasenauer at 3:30 will go through the entire Belmont field, 1 through 10. 4 o'clock hour, Dan Dunleavy at 4:05 on tonight's Stanley Cup playoffs and the latest Sabres news and the new Amerks coach. 4:30 or so, we're hoping to have Danny Gare, Sabres great. We'll get his thoughts on the Stanley Cup finals as well coming in, and then Ryan with his picks right as we end the show. I'm with you till 5 p.m. Thanks for being with us. Evan DePasquale along the way producing in our Amherst studios. Evan will give you updates all throughout the afternoon. We'll take a timeout here. More coming up from our Belmont show from Batavia Downs right after this on WGR. .253, welcome back here on a Saturday, June 8th. Thanks for being with us. Our Belmont show live at Batavia Downs Gaming. Brian Culzy with you here inside the Park Place room. Party going to get started in less than 2 hours from now. We'll have some guests, including Danny Gare, which we're looking forward to. If you're coming in for the party and you don't have your ticket already, you got to get it in person. Come in, go to the store. Only the first 50 people that show up on site are going to be able to get your party here for the Bourbon and Whiskey Fest at Batavia Downs. So if you are interested, be ready to line up soon, and they'll let you in around 4:30 or so here. Again, if you want to make a wager on the Belmont today, you can come here to Batavia Downs Gaming. And of course, Ryan or any of the other members of the staff here will help you out. You can go to any Western OTB location across Western New York. If you want to know where those locations are, westernotb.com. You can get free programs there. Or, of course, if you want to just do it from wherever you're listening right now, you can go to BataviaBets.com. Ryan Hasenauer will be joining us back at 3:30. He will go through one by one each of the horses of the 10-horse field for the 12th race of the day at Saratoga, which is where the Belmont Stakes is this year. Again, coming up next segment, Pat Malacaro live from Salem Field, previewing tonight's Bisons game as well as some Major League Baseball thoughts. But before we get to Pat, some news coming down later this morning and into this afternoon about, of course, the buzz of women's sports still. Caitlin Clark, she's been in the headlines quite a bit. We know she had a cheap shot in the game about a week or so ago. People have been debating about it and the reaction that it gotten and media coverage of it. And before I get into the news about the Olympics today, I'll just say this. It was definitely a cheap shot. I think it's bad that the league did not stand up more for her in terms of a suspension or a fine. I understand that they upgraded it to a flagrant, and then if you get 4 at some point, you will get suspended. But to me, she is the reason right now that the league is getting a ton of eyeballs. They are getting sellouts that they never had gotten before. And there are other great players, for sure, including Angel Reese, who seems to be kind of also on the other side of the tail of the tape in this argument, which, you know, fairly or not fairly, they have kind of created this rivalry going back to the national championship with LSU and Iowa 2 years ago. And whether, you know, Reese says, well, her and Clark, they don't really, you know, they're not enemies, they're not rivals, whatever, this is kind of what people are tuning in for. So in some sense, if I'm the WNBA and I'm running it, I'm embracing this. And, you know, I'm not saying that you have to make Angel Reese a villain in any way, but what some of the teammates did to her, what some of the players did to Clark, and then, by the way, I'm going to call out Clark's teammates, too. They didn't do anything. I mean, how many times on a postgame show have I sat here and say, well, the Sabres didn't do anything when the goalie got run into, or, oh, Rasmus Dahlin took a cheap shot to the head and nobody ran over. Well, how is it any different? Caitlin Clark is the star of that Indiana Fever team, and she got cheap shot, and nobody did anything on her team. So while there, yes, the other team should be at fault, and I think there should have been more of something done in terms of punishment for it, the fact that none of her Fever teammates did anything too, like, I'd be a little annoyed if I was her about that too. Like, look, you know, I'm out here, we know the target's on me, but man, have my back a little here. To not even, you know, run over there or anything. I know you can't run off the bench because you're going to get suspended right away for that, but for the 4 other players that are on the floor, I thought that was weak. Now, the news today that Clark won't be going to the Paris Olympics, the Associated Press and now ESPN confirming multiple reports, Clark will not be on the USA basketball team. She wasn't able to get to the national training camp in Cleveland this year for Team USA, but it was for a good reason. It was because Iowa was still playing in the Final Four, so Clark did not get a chance to get with USA basketball. I don't know if that ultimately was a reason why, but you'll have really, really good players on this team. Like Diana Taurasi will be there. Brittany Griner will be there. Asia Wilson will be there. Brianna Stewart will be there. So, I mean, this team's going to be stacked. The United States is going to be favored to win gold again. I don't necessarily think like that they're not going to win because they don't have Caitlin Clark. And, Evan, I know you and I were talking in the break a little bit about this. Maybe for Clark, this is a chance for her to maybe even take a little breath right now because it seems as though, you know, she has been just going nonstop through the college season and now right into the pros.
It almost feels like her last, like, real break that she's had. And even this is probably going to be, what, 2-3 week break? I mean, she's still, like, the only time that she really had her break was after the last college season or during, you know, a winter break. That's really when it feels like. If you want to globalize the WNBA, yeah, I think that that would be great for her to be there. But I think that even if she was offered, she might even decline it because she's been playing so much basketball. Give her a little bit of a breather. That's kind of really all I had to say. I know we're up against a break.
Yeah, and obviously the U.S. women's games would have gotten more attention. Like, let's not cover that up. Of course, more people would have watched if Clark was on the team. Would she have played the minutes that she does right now in the role? Probably not, because as I said, this team's stacked. I still think they're going to win. But they're going to end up playing Japan, Belgium, Germany in the pool play at the Olympics. They get together in July, and then they head to France or Paris for those games. The U.S. women, by the way, when I said they're the favorite, they've won every gold medal in women's basketball since the 96 games in Atlanta. So pretty safe bet. Whether Clark's on it or not, it's not going to affect Team USA's chances. Would I have been more apt to watch? Probably, but I think I'd probably watch it anyway at this point. But, no Clark. At least that's some reports there that she likely will be left off the Team USA women's team for this Summer Olympics. Okay, time out here. Our first hour is done in the books on our Belmont show. And when we come back, Pat Mellicaro live from Salem Field. Preview tonight's Bisons game. Get some thoughts on Major League Baseball. The Yankees are tearing it up. The Blue Jays are going the opposite direction. We'll get some thoughts from Pat on that. Ryan at 3:30 with the breakdown of the Belmont Stakes. 4 o'clock hour, Dan Dunleavy, Danny Gare. Lots to get to here. Hour number two coming up from Batavia Downs. I'm Brian Colzio. Thanks for being with us here on WGR.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
.253, welcome back here on a Saturday, June 8th. Thanks for being with us. Our Belmont show live at Batavia Downs Gaming. Brian Colzio with you here inside the Park Place room. Party going to get started in less than 2 hours from now. We'll have some guests, including Danny Gare, which we're looking forward to. If you're coming in for the party and you don't have your ticket already, you got to get it in person. Come in, go to the store. Only the first 50 people that show up on site are going to be able to get your party here for the Bourbon and Whiskey Fest at Batavia Downs. So if you are interested, be ready to line up soon, and they'll let you in around 4:30 or so here. Again, if you want to make a wager on the Belmont today, you can come here to Batavia Downs Gaming. And of course, Ryan or any of the other members of the staff here will help you out. You can go to any Western OTB location across Western New York. If you want to know where those locations are, westernotb.com. You can get free programs there. Or, of course, if you want to just do it from wherever you're listening right now, you can go to BataviaBets.com. Ryan Hasenauer will be joining us back at 3:30. He will go through one by one each of the horses of the 10-horse field for the 12th race of the day at Saratoga, which is where the Belmont Stakes is this year. Again, coming up next segment, Pat Mellicaro live from Salem Field, previewing tonight's Bisons game as well as some Major League Baseball thoughts. But before we get to Pat, some news coming down later this morning and into this afternoon about, of course, the buzz of women's sports still, Caitlin Clark. She's been in the headlines quite a bit. We know she had the I'll call it a cheap shot in the game about a week or so ago. People have been debating about it and the reaction that it gotten and media coverage of it. And before I get into the news about the Olympics today, I'll just say this. It was definitely a cheap shot. I think it's bad that the league did not stand up more for her in terms of a suspension or a fine. I understand that they upgraded it to a flagrant, and then if you get four at some point, you will get suspended. But to me, she is the reason right now that the league is getting a ton of eyeballs. They are getting sellouts that they never had gotten before. And there are other great players, for sure, including Angel Reese, who seems to be kind of also on the other side of the tail of the tape in this argument, which, you know, fairly or not fairly, they have kind of created this rivalry going back to the national championship with LSU and Iowa 2 years ago. And whether, you know, Reese says, well, her and Clark, they don't really, you know, they're not enemies, they're not rivals, whatever. This is kind of what people are tuning in for. So in some sense, if I'm the WNBA and I'm running it, I'm embracing this. And, you know, I'm not saying that you have to make Angel Reese a villain in any way, but what some of the teammates did to her, what some of the players did to Clark, and then, by the way, I'm going to call out Clark's teammates, too. They didn't do anything. I mean, how many times on a postgame show have I sat here and say, well, the Sabres didn't do anything when the goalie got run into, or, oh, Rasmus Dahlin took a cheap shot to the head and nobody ran over. Well, how is it any different? Caitlin Clark is the star of that Indiana Fever team, and she got cheap shot, and nobody did anything on her team. So while there, yes, the other team should be at fault, and I think there should have been more of something done in terms of punishment for it, the fact that none of her Fever teammates did anything too, like, I'd be a little annoyed if I was her about that too. Like, look, you know, I'm out here, we know the target's on me, but man, have my back a little here. To not even, you know, run over there or anything. I know you can't run off the bench because you're going to get suspended right away for that. But for the four other players that are on the floor, I thought that was weak. Now, the news today that Clark won't be going to the Paris Olympics, the Associated Press and now ESPN confirming multiple reports, Clark will not be on the USA basketball team. She wasn't able to get to the national training camp in Cleveland this year for Team USA, but it was for a good reason. It was because Iowa was still playing in the Final Four, so Clark did not get a chance to get with USA basketball. I don't know if that ultimately was a reason why, but you'll have really, really good players on this team. Like Diana Taurasi will be there, Brittany Griner will be there, Asia Wilson will be there, Brianna Stewart will be there. So, I mean, this team's going to be stacked. The United States is going to be favored to win gold again. I don't necessarily think like that they're not going to win because they don't have Caitlin Clark. And, Evan, I know you and I were talking in the break a little bit about this. Maybe for Clark, this is a chance for her to maybe even take a little breath right now, because it seems as though, you know, she has been just going nonstop through the college season and now right into the pros.
It almost feels like her last, like, real break that she's had. And even this is probably going to be, what, 2-3 week break? I mean, she's still, like, the only time that she really had her break was after the last college season or during, you know, a winter break. That's really when it feels like. If you want to globalize the WNBA, yeah, I think that that would be great for her to be there. But I think that even if she was offered, she might even decline it because she's been playing so much basketball. Give her a little bit of a breather. That's kind of really all I had to say. I know we're up against a break.
Yeah, and obviously the U.S. women's games would have gotten more attention. Like, let's not cover that up. Of course, more people would have watched if Clark was on the team. Would she have played the minutes that she does right now in the role? Probably not, because as I said, this team's stacked. I still think they're going to win. But they're going to end up playing Japan, Belgium, Germany in the pool play at the Olympics. They get together in July and then they head to France or Paris for those games. The U.S. women, by the way, when I said they're the favorite, they've won every gold medal in women's basketball since the 96 games in Atlanta. So pretty safe bet. Whether Clark's on it or not, it's not going to affect Team USA's chances. Would I have been more apt to watch? Probably, but I think I'd probably watch it anyway at this point. But yeah, no Clark. At least that's some reports there that she likely will be left off the team USA women's team for this Summer Olympics. Okay, time out here. Our first hour is done in the books on our Belmont show. And when we come back, Pat Mellicaro live from Salem Field. Preview tonight's Bisons game. Get some thoughts on Major League Baseball. The Yankees are tearing it up. The Blue Jays are going the opposite direction. We'll get some thoughts from Pat on that. Ryan at 3:30 with the breakdown of the Belmont Stakes. 4 o'clock hour. Dan Dunleavy, Danny Gare. Lots to get to here. Hour number two coming up from Batavia Downs. I'm Brian Colzio. Thanks for being with us here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.